We are doing our review of Pirkei Avot, and it's a great honor to dedicate our learning tonight to Freida Anna Bat David Anita Bela. She was a woman with wonderful midot who was thanking Hashem for every minute of her life. She always had a positive attitude and words of encouragement for everyone and did a lot of chesed. And she was a real Eshet Chayil, so her granddaughter dedicated our learning tonight in her memory. Her neshama should have an aliyah. And it's interesting because her granddaughter mentions in her email that it's her great-granddaughter, how people can affect us, and we could learn from people from who they are. We discussed that Pirkei Avot and the Torah hones our traits and teaches us how to perfect being a good person. But at the end of the day, a lot of what we learn about being a good person stems from what we've seen at home. We discussed many times that every person should take a moment to reflect on what he could gain from his past. Very often we're looking to build and say, I'm going to do things differently. And it pays to stop and say, wait a second, what can I take with me from my past? We're holding in our review of Pirkei Avot, we're in the middle of the second chapter. We'll start again with what we discussed, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the minor disciple of Hillel's. We said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the disciple that everyone realized he was the smallest, and that's why when Hillel was passing away, everyone was gathered, and he said, is everyone here? And Hillel said, and the students said to Hillel, sure. And then Hillel said, what about the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? They said, oh, the little one, he's not here. So Hillel said, bring him in, because he's going to lead you after me. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, for whatever reason, he took the leadership after Hillel. He was the Nasi. He had five disciples, and he mentioned the praise of each of them, and he asked them each to seek out what is the good path, and what should a person be careful of. And we had seen how Rabbi Eliezer taught that we should be careful in honoring our friend. Their honor should be as precious, as dear to us as our own. We should be careful not to anger easily and repent the day before we die, because we never know when our last day is. And you know, many people have written articles on this. If only I knew. If only I knew that I wouldn't have a chance to tell my parents I love them, I'd tell them. All kinds of articles have been written about how, if only I knew. And that's the message the Mishnah tells us. Don't wait till it's too late. You never know when the last day comes. So you know, we should always do tshuva one day before. And then he gave us a warning that we should be close to the sages, but we should be careful, because even though they warm us and they're very warm towards us, at the end of the day we're dealing with great people, and we should be careful that not to overstep the bounds just because they're warm and kind. Rabbi Yeshua taught us, and you remember Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania was the impoverished blacksmith. He's the one that took Rabbi Eliezer in when Rabbi Eliezer came to Jerusalem and he wanted to learn Torah, and he had no place to stay. Rabbi Yeshua took him in. And Rabbi Yeshua, we learned a lot about him in our Ein Yaakov class. He said, a bad eye and bad desire and hatred for God's creations, they cause a person to die young. It's a way of life, and these things go hand in hand. Rabbi Yossi cautioned us that when we deal with our friends' money, we should be as careful with it. It should be as dear to us as our own. And a person should prepare himself to learn Torah, because it doesn't come by inheritance. Just because a person's father was a rabbi doesn't mean he will be a rabbi. You want to acquire Torah, Rabbi Yossi warns, prepare yourself to learn. And our actions have to be for the sake of the name of heaven. A person has to think, what's this doing for the name of heaven? And at this time especially, we could take this Mishnah to heart. Rabbi Shimon says, be careful with Shema and prayer. And when we pray, we have to be careful with our attitude. We shouldn't speak about prayer as something, oh, I got to do it. It's time for Shacharis, it's time for Mincha. Prayer has to be something that stems from the soul. And that's speaking both about the style in which we speak about the prayer and the way in which we pray. And the last point that Rabbi Shimon said might be a point that, you know, for this point alone, if we learn nothing else but this point, it was worth coming here tonight. And that was, Al tihi rasha bifnei atzmecha. A person should never think of himself as a wicked person. We all know our faults, but we have to look at our strengths as well. So Rabbi Shimon warns us, don't get carried away with perfecting yourself to the point that you feel you're an evil person. A person always has to have a positive view of himself. I'm not perfect yet. I'll become perfect. I'll get perfect. We don't have to knock ourselves down. We have to help pick ourselves up. Rabbi Eliezer taught us, and we're going through the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Eliezer would frequently say, you want to acquire Torah, you got to stick to it. Torah is one of those things that you can't get on the fly. And a person has to know Torah well enough that when people come with questions, an apikores, a person from an Epicureanist comes and asks, what do you do with this? And what do you answer this philosophical claim? We have to know the answers, and we discuss, we don't get into the dialogues with them, but we have to know the answers for ourselves. And we should also know that who we're servicing. Very often we strive to do mitzvah, and sometimes we feel like we fall flat on our face. You know, I ran out in the rain, I went to visit my grandmother, and she looked at me and said, darling, what'd you come for? It's a rainy day. So a person has to stop and say, wait a second, I had a mitzvah, who was I servicing? I came to do an act of kindness for my grandmother, but the truth is, God gave me this mitzvah, and I'm doing it before Him, and He's trusted that if He saw how hard I worked to perform this mitzvah, He'll pay me back for it. Sometimes, even though the mitzvah doesn't work out, and quite the contrary, sometimes we get hit badly for it. A guy called me up the other day. He says, I killed myself for this institution. I did A, B, C, and D beyond the call of duty. I stayed extra hours. And now they're coming to me and they're saying, who asked you to do all this? What do you mean? I donated my time. I helped them. And now they're firing me because I did extra work. You know, weird things happen in life. We have to remember what Rabbi Eliezer taught. At the end of the day, it's not our boss that gauges who we are. It's Hashem who gauges who we are. We have to do the maximum. And we have to know who's gauging us. Rabbi Tarfon says, the famous saying of Rabbi Tarfon, we all know it, now we know who said it, the day is short, the work is plenty, and the workers are lazy. But you should know there's great wages, and the one above, he's pushing, he's saying, get the job done. He used to teach, we have to remember a balanced life. It isn't our responsibility to conclude. We're not free to stop working, but we're not responsible for the outcome. Sometimes in life, we're so pressured, I gotta make it, I gotta finish the shas, I have to educate my children so that they're geniuses. No, we have to stick to the task at hand. But at the end of the day, we cannot guarantee the outcome. We don't control all the factors. So this is, again, a very important rule for a balanced life. Very often we're pressured with the outcome. And we have to know that Torah teaches us, on the one hand, we have to put our effort completely into being a good person and doing good things. On the other hand, it isn't our responsibility if the outcome will succeed or not, because we have to remember that there are factors that are beyond our control. At the end of the day, we could have done our maximum, and it still won't succeed. And that is not a reflection on us. Our responsibility is to put our maximum into it, but the outcome is not our responsibility. If a person learned a lot of Torah, then there are great wages for him, and he should know. The one who's responsible for the wages has wages to pay, and the wages are in the world to come. Don't expect them in this world. Sometimes a person can toil, and then he feels like, well, what do I have to show for it? That's not a question. That's what Rabbi Tarfon taught us. There are wages, and they're still to come. Yeah, Yehuda.
What pasuk is that?
We didn't quote a pasuk. It's a Mishnah. Lo alecha amlacha ligmo? That's a Mishnah. It's the last Mishnah in the second chapter. Yes?
Rabbi, regarding what you said, like, if a person studies Torah and he only receives evil in this world, I don't really understand that at all, because then everyone will be like focused, you know what, this world, you know what, that, I'll just worry about the world to come. I don't got to do much.
It's an excellent question. We discussed it many times. The Kuzari has a whole section that discusses this point. Right now, in our quick review, we can't spend time on it. I'm sorry. We're up to the third chapter. The first Mishnah is a Mishnah that we read at the eulogy, at the funeral service of every person. Akavya ben Malalo taught, look at three things and you don't come to sin. A person has to know, where did I come from, where am I headed, and who's going to take me to task over the life I've led. Where have I come from? From nothing, from a drop. Where am I headed? To the dust, to worms, to vermin. And who will I give justice before? Who will I give a testimonial over the life I've led before the King of Kings? The Holy One, blessed be He. And this is supposed to teach us to be modest people, to be humble people, to be kind people. A person can't be too proud when he remembers where he's headed. A person can't be too materialistic when he remembers that it's all going to end up as vermin. And a person should be a kind person, because he's supposed to remember who's watching his actions here below. Rabbi Hanina Scott, the Vice President Cohen, he used to say, pray for the peace of the authorities. People sometimes say, the government's corrupt. Well, Rabbi Hanina says, at the end of the day, you need them. Because if not for the fear of the government, people would swallow one another alive. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon, you know, he was one of those that we lament on Tisha B'Av. He was one of the 10 people that were brutally murdered by the Romans. He said, if two people sit and they're just sitting and there's no Torah between them, that's like a place of jokers. If two people sit and there's Torah going between them, they share with one another words of Torah, then God comes and rests in between them. And God writes it in his book, so to speak, how these two sat and there was Torah between them. And it's not only two, it's even one. Rabbi Shimon taught us, if three people are eating on one table, they're responsible for saying words of Torah. Otherwise, it's not considered a table that's before God. If we say Torah, then God says, "Ah, you've set that table before me." Rabbi Hanina ben Chachinai warns: if a person is up at night doing nothing, his mind's wandering, he's surfing the net. So he's going to list a bunch of examples which cause a person to destroy his life. One is a person who's just up at night wandering. He's in chat rooms. He's got nothing to do this time. He's just awake at night, doing nothing productive. The other is a person who goes at night and he just goes for a walk alone. What's he going to encounter? Remember, in those days, who is out at night? Either women of ill repute or bandits. What are you looking for when you're walking out at night all alone? And the person who takes time just to let himself daydream, and we know where men's thoughts usually head. So these are things that cause him to lose his soul. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana told us, whoever accepts the yoke of Torah, so then if he really accepts the yoke of Torah, we discussed this, one who really accepts the yoke of Torah, that means that he's putting his all into it. That's something that's beyond us at this generation. Then in heaven, they ensure that they won't tax him too much and they won't hold him responsible for too much work, volunteer services and stuff like that. People will appreciate his contribution to society out of Torah alone. And if someone removes the yoke of Torah, then all these yokes come back upon him. Rabbi Chalafta from the village of Hanania says, if 10 people are delving in Torah, the Shekhinah is in their midst. Even 5, even 3, even 2, and even 1. Rabbi Lezer, the head of Bartota, the city of Bartota, says, when you donate, don't think of it as though I'm doing God a favor. Rather, you're giving him what he gave you. For everything we own is his. That's what King David taught us. Rabbi Shimon says, if a person's traveling and he's reviewing his learning and suddenly he stops and says, boy, what a beautiful tree, what a beautiful furrowed field. So he's losing his learning. Learning in their time, the oral law, was all by repetition. If he's breaking his repetition, he's breaking his review, he'll forget what he's learned and he'll err in teaching the Torah. And ultimately he's causing a loss to himself and others as well. Rabbi Dostai and Rabbi Yanai taught in the name of Rabbi Meir, if someone uproots the learning from his heart, then he's going to be held accountable for his soul, because he's taking the life of the soul out of himself. Rabbi Hanina, the son of Dosa, taught, you remember Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, right? He was the tzaddik who was impoverished. He had one carob tree in his yard. They used to pick the carobs and eat that. The volume of two bottles like that of carobs was his and his wife's food for the week. That's what they had all week long. He was impoverished, and a heavenly voice would come out and say, the whole world is being sustained in the merit of my son Hanina, and my son Hanina is happy with that volume of carobs. That's his food for the week. His wife was embarrassed. Every week everyone would cook in honor of Shabbos, and they had nothing to cook. So she'd take dry wood and put it in the oven so that the neighbors would see smoke coming out of the chimney. Once a nosy neighbor came in and said, what you cooking? I haven't seen your husband bring home any food. She went over to the oven and quickly opened it, and God made a miracle. The oven was filled with all kinds of delicious foods. God didn't want them to be embarrassed. When he lost his two children, his wife didn't tell him. He came home from, you guys know the story, right? He came home from shul that Shabbos morning, and his wife covered them up in the attic, and they ate the meal, and he asked her, where are the kids? She said, they're being detained. When he came home, Matzei Shabbos, he made Abdullah. After Abdullah, she said, honey, I need your help. He says, what's the issue? I want to go look for the kids. She says, no, first you got to help me. So he says, what's the issue? She says, I borrowed a beautiful jewel from my friend. I don't want to give it back. So he looked at her bewildered. He said, what do you mean? You borrowed a beautiful jewel? Of course you have to give it back. She said, are you sure? If someone gives you something really beautiful, really precious, you're sure you have to give it back? So he said, sure. Of course you have to give it back. What's the question? So then she took him up to the attic and uncovered their two children that had passed away. That's the tzaddikas, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's wife. She didn't want him to suffer that Shabbos, so she kept it hidden from him. You're not allowed to mourn on Shabbos. And this was the way she broke the news to him so that he could accept it. So he taught us, he said, a person's being a God-fearing person, a person's fear of sin must precede his wisdom. If his wisdom comes first, then it won't last. If a person first thinks like this and like that, but the fear of sin isn't so strong by him, then with his wisdom he'll figure out ways to sin and feel okay with it as well. We can outsmart ourselves. The key is that a person's fear of sin has to precede. He used to teach, if a person is favored among his fellow men, then you should know that God likes him. But if people don't like being around a certain person, you could rest assured God doesn't like him too much either. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas taught, sleeping late in the morning, drinking wine in the early noon, and sitting chatting with young kids when you should be productive, or sitting where the common folk just gather, that's what causes a person to die young and lead an unproductive life. Rabbi Elazar, from the city of Modi'in, he taught, anyone who desecrates the holy foods, desecrates the Cholamoy, or shames his friend publicly, or annuls the covenant of Avram, the circumcision, or teaches Torah against the halacha, he might have Torah, he might have good deeds, but he won't have a section in the world to come. Rabbi Yishmael says, be light with the youth, be comfortable with the older people, and accept every person with joy. Rabbi Akiva taught, being lightheaded, being joking, that leads a person to promiscuity with women that he should stay, he shouldn't be with, married women, relatives. The way to maintain Torah is maintaining tradition. The way to maintain wealth is giving a tithe to the poor. The way to maintain a life of holiness is by taking vows, keeping ourselves away from sin. The way to maintain wisdom is by being silent. He used to say how cherished is the human being, that God created him in his fashion. He was shown an extra love from God. How precious are the Jewish people, that God called them his children, and therefore God gave them the gift, he gave them the Torah, and he called them my children. The heavens know what's to come, but they've given us permission to do as we see fit. But ultimately God will judge the world out of the goodness of his heart, and he will judge based upon our actions. He used to teach, you should know that God has taken collateral for everything we do. At the end of the day, there's nowhere to run. God's writing everything down like a store owner who's taking an accounting of the credit we take. Everything's being written down. You want to take a loan, but they'll collect. And we don't know when they're collecting. Whether we know it or not, they're collecting, and ultimately the justice will be served. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah taught, if a person has no Torah, then he cannot know what's the proper way to be with other people. But if a person doesn't have the basic understanding of how to behave with other people, then he also cannot learn Torah. These two complement one another. A person has to have basic derech eretz, know how to behave with his fellow man, and he has to have Torah, then he could perfect both. But you need both. If a person doesn't have wisdom, he cannot be God-fearing, and if a person isn't God-fearing, he can't attain the ultimate wisdom. If he has no understanding, he can't attain knowledge. If he has no knowledge, he can't attain understanding. They go hand in hand. If he has no food, he won't be able to grow in Torah. If he has no Torah, then he won't be able to reach the most in food. He used to say, a person's actions have to outperform his wisdom, otherwise he's like a tree that has many branches and very few roots. The wind just overturns him, but if he has many actions, that's like many roots, and the branches are the wisdom, so then he can last forever. Rabbi Lezer ben Chisma says, you should know that the mathematical equations of the different sacrifices and the menstrual period, they are the body of halacha. The mathematical equations of the numerical value of the words of the Torah and the different dates, that's just flowering an addition to wisdom. And that brings us to the conclusion of the third chapter.